Member, California State Polytechnic College, San Luis Obispo, presents another in its series of interviews with distinguished retired staff members. This one is Joseph C. Duell. Joe, you're a man who was here many years ago and had a long experience with Cal Poly. Tell me how you happened to find out and become connected with Cal Poly in the first place.
Well, when I was in San Francisco, after I got back from the World War I, I met Colonel Ryder, who was then president of the school here in San Luis Obispo. And we had an interview, and he asked me to come down and be in charge of the military and have charge of the dormitory on the campus.
And you came down here just as soon as you could make arrangements, and we're here at the beginning of the school year in 1920, is that right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Just a minute about your war experiences, Joe. One of the men that's recently retired tells me that at the end of World War I, you were in charge of a delousing station at Brest, is that right? did you know that? I mean, did you know there was one of those fellows here?
No, I didn't know that, George. I wasn't exactly in charge of a delousing station. I was stationed at Brest, and that's one of the things that most of the soldiers had to go through when they went for the debarkation in Brest. Mm-hmm. I was there at the time under General Butler.
Mm-hmm. Well, this fellow was Gus Beck, and he often talks about that. Well, now, you came here in charge of the Cadet Corps and as dormitory superintendent. What was the background of the cadet training, which was compulsory here at that time, Joe?
Well, I don't remember what the background was, except that the boys had to buy their own uniforms, and although the equipment was provided for by the government, the boys had to buy their uniforms, and it was quite a chore, but we had a very good military establishment to start with.
Mm-hmm. And I had drill once a week.
Yes, at the hours that wouldn't interfere with the classes. Mm-hmm. It usually was between 11 and 12 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. And you had probably the longest term of a dorm superintendent of anybody in history, and if I recall correctly, you served from 1920 to 1952, except for the period in World War II. Is that right?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then, about how many students were there at Cal Poly and how many living on the campus when you came here?
I don't remember how many students. There was 200 or 300 students. And we had a dormitory. It was quite full, and it held about 50 students.
Mm-hmm. And that was the only dormitory here at
That's
that time?
The only dormitory on mm-hmm. the campus.
And that was called just the Poly Dormitory.
Poly Dormitory.
Mm-hmm. Then you had other things besides drill that interested the students. Did they do any target practice or shooting?
Yes, we had a very, very good organization. On Saturday mornings, we'd go out on the target range. We had a fine target range, 200, 300, 400, 500-yard range. And the ammunition was furnished, and we developed some pretty good shots, too, at the result of the target practice, which the students took a very keen interest in.
Mm-hmm. Did they take part in state or national competition?
No, I can't remember if they did at any time.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't, very few students, if any, had cars here at that time, and did you do some hiking and so on with the students?
Oh, yes. One of the things that we all did was to see if we could get everyone to hike on our off days on a Sunday. And we all tried to hike on top of the mountains directly across from the school, Mount San Luis and Mount Obispo. And a student wasn't recognized as a real student until he climbed both these mountains.
Was the P painted on Bishop Peak at that time?
No, not at that time, but during the latter part of the 20s, there was a boy by the name of Zanoli. after he graduated, he worked for the electric company, and he provided the tackle and the ropes necessary to put that P up there, which is quite a task.
Mm-hmm. And was there a change in president shortly after you came here?
The change of president shortly after, yes. Colonel Ryder went back into his business in San Francisco, and we had a man by the name of Ben Crandall, who was the next president. Wait, yes, that's right.
But did Ricciardi come in?
Yes.
When did he come in?
He came in before. Ricciardi came in after Ryder.
Mm-hmm.
And
he was in here for about 3 or 4 years.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Then he went with the State Department of Education, as I recall, in Sacramento.
That's
Ricciardi
right.
did.
That's right.
Dr. Crandall came in.
That's right.
Now, you had some other things to do besides dorm superintendent and professor of military science and tactics, and I know you had an inborn love of baseball. Did you do some coaching then?
Yes, that's one of my very pleasant memories. I was coach for baseball for many years at Cal Poly, and we developed some pretty darn good baseball players, too.
Who is the one that stands out in your mind, Joe?
Well, nowadays, it's pretty hard to say, but the one that stands out in my mind is Thornton Lee, and he was from Arroyo Grande, and he graduated from Poly, and he developed into quite a pitcher and later went to the Chicago White Sox, where he was a 21-game winner that year.
Mm-hmm. Well, that certainly was a thrill to have had a chance to work with a fellow like that, and I know that you kept in touch with him for a long time after that. Then you lived on the campus, and your daughter, Pauline, was born on the campus?
That's right.
In what year?
1922.
Mm-hmm. And by 1924, Joe, you'd already made quite a mark on the campus here, and something happened in connection with the school journal in 24. What was that? Didn't they dedicate the Cal Poly Journal to you in 1924?
Oh, that's right. Yes, I didn't. I don't remember that. Yes, that was quite an honor. I was certainly pleased with that. That was 1924, yes.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Crandall came in at that time. Was there any particular change in procedure or administrative policy between he and Ricciardi?
No, it was just about the same.
Mm-hmm. And then in 1925... If I remember your background, you were active in the DMLA program here in San Luis Obispo.
That's right. I was one of the officials there in DMLA.
And on the advisory board?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And were quite a few Cal Poly students interested in DMLA and participating?
Naturally. They were the young men of that age, and mm-hmm. they were interested in it, yes.
Mm-hmm. And, Joe, in 1927, they added a new division to the college, a new area of education. What was that?
I don't know just exactly what you mean.
Was that the junior, when the junior college came in 1927?
That's right, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And are you speaking of dormitories?
No, I'm just talking about the education, the
I see.
Additional years of program. Did that make any difference in your work?
No, except that the uniforms were a little bit different. The junior college had long pants, and the older students, not the older students, but the others, had the leggings.
Had the leggings.
That's
uh-huh.
right.
Mm-hmm. And you had them for, if they'd come here, you had them for 2 more years.
That's
if
right.
they had been here.
That's
uh-huh.
right.
And then in 1928, they were building some new dormitories, and what had been Poly Dorm, they wanted to give that a new name, and what was that?
The students got together and had a petition, and they wanted to name the dormitory after me, which I was very happy and very proud that they should do that. And it's still called Dual Dorm.
Still called Dual Dorm, and that's it's the oldest dorm on the campus and still standing up there on the hill with those other dormitories. And I believe they were all built between about 1928 and 1931, if I recall correctly.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, then Between 1931 and 1933, there was a number of faculty members that came down here in a cooperative plan between Julian McPhee and Ben Crandall with the idea of incorporating Cal Poly into a greater statewide program. Is that right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And some of those were George Drum and J.I. Thompson, Sid Sutherland. A fellow by the name of George Cooper came here at that time, too.
Did you mention McCorkle?
Well, he came in 32, in the spring
I see.
Of 32.
I see.
And Carl Beck and Bard Shepherd came in 32. And those people were, as I say, in a cooperative plan. Well, then, in 1933, Julian McPhee decided to come down here himself and take over as director of Cal Poly and continue and with his bureau job of chief of the Bureau of Agricultural Education. Now, something took place then in regard to the military training program, did it?
Yes. At that time, Mr. McPhee had realized that the cost of uniforms was too much for the students, and he figured that that would be better to do away with the military altogether. And he kept me on, of course, as director of physical education and also in charge of the dormitories. And we did then do away with the military. Mm-hmm. And you must remember that at that time there was a depression, and the cost, it was a big item there for the incoming students mm-hmm. to buy uniforms.
Mm-hmm. Joe, you've mentioned to me that one of your jobs, of course, as dormitory superintendent, was a disciplinarian, and you had a very a fair program. And I know that students over the years might have rebelled a little bit at some of the rules, but I always knew that they felt that Joe Duell was a real square shooter. And you told me that Mr. McPhee admired that trait and learned some ideas about discipline, did he?
That's what he told me. And I heard him in speeches later say that. He was, to my mind, was one of the greatest men that I ever was associated with.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, under the guidance and inspiration of Mr. McPhee and a lot of work in recruiting and changing the program here and so on, the school did grow in the late part of the 30s.
That's right. It continued to grow.
Mm-hmm. And you continued as a baseball coach until you went back in the service again. Is that
That's
right?
That's right.
Uh-huh. You were called back in 1942?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do during World War II, Joe?
Well, I didn't get overseas in World War II, but I was in the Air Force, and I went to Boise, Idaho, and a number of schools from there. And then I went from, I established, while I was at Gowan Field, I established the Special Services Department there at the field and was sent to the Lexington, Virginia, to the school there at Washington Lee University. And I was there for about 6 months when I was transferred back to Biloxi, which I stayed in Biloxi, Mississippi there as a special service officer until I was relieved in 1945, I believe it was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you were called back to the Army, the students really hated to see you leave, and they had a little ceremony, did they?
They did, gave indeed, and they gave me a watch, which I'm wearing right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can see you have it right on your wrist there, okay? Then, when you came back in 1945, you came back with the rank of major, isn't that right?
That's right.
And when you finally retired from Cal Poly, well, you were Major Duell. But I can tell you that as far as thousands of Cal Poly students are concerned, well, you never got above the rank of captain, because they knew you so long as Captain Duell that you'll just always be Captain Duell.
And the old-timers still call me Captain.
Well, I might do that, too. Well, then, when you came back, Joe, you came back as the dormitory superintendent.
That's right.
And director of physical education.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And Because we're getting a different kind of student right after the war than we had before. Isn't that correct?
That's right. We're getting a lot of married students.
And the housing that we had wasn't what they needed.
No. We had to get together and get some trailers. And Bill Troutner and I went down to Oxnard, and we finally got about 100 trailers put up on the campus for these married people.
Mm-hmm. And you became housing director on top of various other things
that's right.
You had to do. Uh-huh. Then another job that I recall that you had on a campus for a good many years had to do with checking on the rain gauges and so on. What was that job?
That's right. I had for about 20 years. I was the weatherman in San Luis Obispo.
And that meant that every morning you had to get up and get out there. And
rain or shine, I got out there in dark and cold and rain and make a report to San Francisco every morning.
On the rainfall and the temperature and so on.
That's right.
You have a wind gauge there, too?
Oh, yes, and not the velocity.
Mm-hmm.
We measured the intensity and the precipitation. And of course, the temperatures,
mm-hmm.
the high and the lows.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we get to the time that you retired, Joe, you spent a very long time on the campus. Were there any instances or happenings that took place on the campus or outstanding students or anything that come to your mind quickly?
Well, I can't think of anything right now, George. You might ask me about some of them.
Well, when we, in the 30s, when we were all here and not much budget, we have some good parties. That is, the faculty, we had to make our own entertainment in those days.
That's
isn't
right.
that right?
That's right.
And it was just kind of a big family.
That's here. Right.
And, of course, everybody knew each other, and everybody knew all the students, too.
That's right.
And it'd be pretty hard to do that today.
Indeed it would.
In fact, I wonder if all the department heads out here, or the deans, know all their department heads and all their faculty members anymore, the way the place has grown. Well, were there any other students besides Thornton Lee, your great pitcher, that you can remember, athletes or student leaders?
Well, there's a good many of the graduates of Cal Poly that have taken very prominent positions throughout the United States. I can't think of anyone now. I know of one that's a director or in charge of the National Park in, I can't remember now, but there's a great many of the Cal Poly students that I run across from time to time that hold very, very important positions, and I can't think of any one
mm-hmm.
right now
mm-hmm.
at the time.
But the training they got here, going clear back to the time when this was a high school, was good basic training. They learned to work and learned to accept responsibility, and this has carried them a long ways. Isn't that right?
It has, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, then in 1952, you moved off the campus and you retired to the new home, your new home here.
That's right.
On, over here on Hathaway.
That's right.
And on your retirement, the students, knowing your love of baseball, gave you some tickets to the World Series.
That's
that right.
Mm-hmm. No matter who won, whether it was in Boston or Philadelphia.
Uh-huh. but you weren't able to go because of the illness of your wife.
That's right.
So did they give you a television set?
That's right. They
and so you were able to watch the games that year
on TV.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. When did you leave San Luis Obispo, Joe, and where did you go?
I left San Luis Obispo after I lost my wife. I sold my house, and I went down to join my daughter, who was then on the faculty of the University of Redlands in Southern California, and I went down to live with her because she had already accepted a research scholarship to study in Spain, and I went down with the purpose of journeying her to go over to Europe with her at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So we spent about 8 months in Spain, and we inspected all the provinces in that country.
Mm-hmm. Did you make your headquarters in Madrid?
We made our headquarters in Madrid, and then later, We made a tour of Italy and visited people in Italy. And by the way, speaking of Cal Poly students, while we were going to a restaurant there in Madrid, somebody hollered, "Hey, Cap!" And I looked down, it was a man on a motorcycle. It was a Poly student in the city of Madrid. And we ran across a good many of our former students in Europe at that. While we went to Italy, and then we went to Switzerland, and then we went to Germany. And while in Germany, I got in touch with Colonel Jones, who was a former instructor here at Cal Poly. And he was in charge of the airport in East Berlin, or rather in West Berlin. And he made arrangements for us to fly from Frankfurt to Berlin, and we stayed with him for about a week in Berlin. And we had an opportunity to go over the Iron Curtain in East Berlin while there.
Now, did you visit the islands of Mallorca when you were there?
Oh, yes.
And did you go down to Canary Islands, too?
No, we didn't go down,
didn't
to,
go
Canaries,
down to Canaries.
No,
uh-huh.
But we took in a good many of the sites on our way back from our trip.
Mm-hmm.
And we came back on the Independence.
Mm-hmm.
And we arrived back into Redlands, and we purchased a home in Redlands.
Mm-hmm. And you were remarried, and now you live at Yucaipa, which is not very far from Redlands. Now, how did you happen to move out to Yucaipa?
Well, that's quite a long story. But briefly, we had some friends in Yucaipa, which is a trailer town not far from Redlands, about 8 miles from Redlands, and there was a home there, and we purchased a home there, and we've been living there ever since.
Mm-hmm. And you like the climate down there?
Oh, yes.
Quite, but it gets a little warmer than San Luis Obispo sometimes.
San Luis Obispo has the best climate in the United States.
Well, we think that.
That's a plug.
Mm-hmm. And now, Pauline is now back east. Now, where is she and what's she doing?
She was at USC for 3 years in the Spanish department. And last year, she got an offer from Wellesley College in Massachusetts, and she's teaching there now in Wellesley.
Mm-hmm. And she's has her doctor's degree.
Oh, yeah, she got her doctor's degree from Stanford University.
Mm-hmm.
But she, last summer, she was teaching in Guadalajara, and she's on the staff. And she's going down there each summer, teaches down there for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And she's now listed in Who's Who?
Oh, yeah, she's
well,
listed.
I imagine that's something that you're very, very proud of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Joe, I know that you take such opportunities as you have to come back here to San Luis Obispo at various occasions, and undoubtedly the number of people that you see that you knew when you were here kind of decreases all the time. Is that right?
That's right.
But you do see some of them.
I see some of them.
Mm-hmm. That I was just thinking the other day that this group that I was talking about of the 1931 and 1932 influx are all retired. And the only person now that that antedates that, that's still active, is Dick Leach.
Oh, is he still?
And Dick came here in 1930. He came down to teach in the poultry department, and he was going to be an agriculture teacher in high school, but he was such a good poultryman that he just stayed on here and has been here ever since. And Dick is still comparatively young, and he keeps up. He's going to make a world record. Well, Joe, we just about hit all the bases here.
That's I hope so. It's certainly been a pleasure for me to be here.
Well, Joe, thank you very much. I know that you made a special effort to come up here and participate in this interview, and for that, I'm especially grateful, and I know the faculty staff committee, which has arranged these interviews, is equally grateful. And this tape will go into the archives. A copy will be made for the tape library and will be available to people for years to come. And they can hear the voice of the beloved Cap'n Duel. This interview has been conducted in this series of As I Remember by George B. Cooper.